Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge Studios.
Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on this station right here via the podcast app or streaming on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. A lot to talk about with some people here on the show this week. Jim Riley's going to join us from Riley's Outdoor Consulting. If you want to take a trip, a duck hunting trip, dove hunting trip to Argentina, or you want to go whitetail hunting somewhere across the world, whatever, he's the guy to talk to. We're going to talk to him about what it's like to travel around the world or what it's like to not travel around the world right now. Also, Joe Henry will join us to discuss some of the new stay-at-home relaxation guidelines, some of the things that are changing in the state of Minnesota and what it's like up at Lake of the Woods right now. And then Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort will join us to talk about Devil's Lake and taking a trip to Haybale Heights and Devil's Lake right now, what you can expect up there and how farming's going for them right now in the Devil's Lake Basin. This week's show is brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Go to haybaleheights.com for more details about making your trip to Devil's Lake happen. Also by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Find out more about going to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. By Taz and Lake Lodge in northwest Saskatchewan. Hopefully we're having a season up there this summer. Go to tazandlake.com for more details there. And brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. Watch our episodes on the Pioneer PBS YouTube channel or go to prairiesportsman.com. All right. Well, Governor Waltz made the big announcement this week and changed some of what we can and can't do here in Minnesota. So we're going to talk to Joe Henry now from Lake of the Woods Tourism to discuss that, talk about fishing up at Lake of the Woods and just how things are progressing this summer. Joe, thanks for coming back on the show.
My pleasure, Brett. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. So some good news, obviously. Everybody was kind of expecting that Governor Walz was going to let the stay-at-home order expire, but that doesn't mean everything is just back on again, right?
No, it sure doesn't. You know, for Lake of the Woods, you know, we so what he did is he's going to let the current executive order expire, and then a new one goes into place on Monday. And the new one, you know, it's kind of like he's opening up that spigot a little bit more. But, you know, unfortunately for Lake of the Woods, He opened it to the point from a fishing perspective that you can go out with a guide and up to two customers. And you know, with our lake and our resort community relying so much on charter boats where you can get up to six people, you know, it really doesn't do much for us. And you know, it's come to a point now where you can make a lot of justifications as far as going into a big box store, a grocery store, an Uber with a stranger in an enclosed environment, or you could go on a 27 to 30 foot charter boat, be out in the open air, have a spacing between everybody, have the captain, you know, with protective gear, hand sanitizer, all that. You can make a lot of justifications. The point of it is that I'll tell you what, without charters being able to run, I mean, we got customers that want to go. These customers are staying together in a cabin. Those same customers that stay together in a cabin, we would hope could go step onto a charter boat with a guide who's got protective gear on and is willing to and wants to go fishing. And that's the problem. Without that group being able to come up and go on a charter boat, they don't have a cabin stay. They're not eating food. They're not the economy stops. And our economy up at Lake of the Woods has been stopped for a while now. You know, we're getting some people coming up with their own boats. And, man, we appreciate it. We appreciate everybody coming up. But people are coming up in their own boats and fishing, that sort of thing. But we have a big part of our resort community that caters to charter fishing. And it just makes life easy for people that either don't have a boat or don't want to navigate Lake of the Woods.
Well, I was happy to hear that there was guided fishing allowed now. Obviously, it's only one or two people. So you're saying, though, that a group of guys could come stay in a cabin up at Lake of the Woods and sleep in the same bedroom, I suppose, in the same cabin, but can't go on an open-air charter boat up there.
That is correct, yeah. So a group of anglers, guys or gals, can come up and they can stay in a cabin, they can stay at a hotel room, a lodge room. They can stay together as a group. You know, they're from the same household, perhaps they know each other, but they're staying together, but they can't go on an open-air charter boat together. And that's the part that's a little bit difficult. And, you know, it's very important for our lodging community, because that's one of the ways that why people come up to the walleye capital of the world is to jump on a charter boat and navigate the big waters of Lake of the Woods, where there's huge schools of Roman walleyes. That's part of the draw.
And they could obviously take two people out in one of those charter boats, but they'd basically just be throwing money into the water at that point, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense for them to run those boats with only two people in it.
It does not, no, because you know what? Just right off the bat, you know, I don't have to go through the expenses of a charter boat, but, you know, and the cost of the boat, insurance, gas, licensed charter captain, bait. I mean, I can go on and on. It makes no sense. I mean, literally.
Some of the other changes, I guess, or some of the other announcements part of this, limited and safe reopening of bars and restaurants and other places of public accommodation on June 1st. So does that mean that some of those bars and restaurants could open up there at the resorts June 1st?
You know, certainly they can, yes. And, you know, so they really had to make an announcement on that because, you know, being that the bars and restaurants were shut down, it takes at least a couple of weeks to start ramping up. It's employee training. It's, you know, most of them have already cleaned for COVID-19 and they're ready to roll. It's filling your coolers and your freezers back up with food. It's you know, all those different things that got shut down, you just don't ramp up in one night. You know, it takes a while to kind of ramp up again. So they're starting to ramp up. The challenge is that, you know what, if we don't get the charter boats rolling, you know, a lot of the people won't be there to eat the food or to drink the booze. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a trickle-down effect, and it's very important for us. You know, out in Ohio, Lake Erie, you know, their charter boats are rolling. And
oh,
I know
really?
The Lake Erie charter – yes, they are. So Charter Boat Association, their president talked about how they're taking different measures. You know, things like putting tape down to space people out. When you run into a spot on the charter boat, people aren't out crowded in the enclosed cabin. They're out in the open. You know, things like decontamination and, of course, the captain wearing safety gear. You know, there's a number of things that people can do that really makes it, you know, quite easy. I mean, think about, you know, we talked about going into the busy stores, going into an Uber or Lyft in a closed area with a stranger. My gosh, you're coming up with a group of people whom you are staying in the same cabin with. Certainly, you would think those same people could go a step aboard a charter. Boy, our guys are ready, willing, and able to go out. They feel very, very confident that they can take safety precautions to protect themselves and the customers. And, you know, we just believe it's time.
So if June 1st, a bar or restaurant could open back up with limited capacity, I know I'm sure they'll try to say, you know, I think right now gatherings, 10 people or less, a charter boat or launch is what, usually about six?
Up to six.
Up to six plus the captain. So you're talking seven people on a charter boat. Do you think that June 1st, if you were looking to your crystal ball, that might become allowed when we get to June?
Well, I would sure hope so. And I would sure hope that it would become sooner than that. You know, I hope he would start allowing that. You know, it's crucial. And it comes to a point where, you know, we have resorts that have, you know, we're talking into the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of lost revenue for their resorts. You know, we lost the last 2 weeks of March, we lost our spring walleye, we lost our sturgeon season, and now we're limited for people that have their own boats to come up. And certainly we'll welcome people that have their own boats. We want them to come up and stay at our resorts. It's hugely important. At the same time, again, a big part of our fishing is our charter boat fishing. And, you know, it's really holding back. And the part people won't think about is it's not only the reservations that we're losing, and it's the lost revenue now, but it's the reservations that are canceling for the future, and it's the people that aren't calling to make a reservation for the future. So when you add all of that up, it's a huge loss. And, you know, it's not cheap to run a resort. I mean, there's just inherent fixed costs that you have. And it's very, very challenging times for our resort communities.
So until then, people could bring their boats up there, stay in a cabin, and they can order food delivered to their cabins, right?
Yeah.
You know, so if somebody wanted to try to come up and help out, you know, and give some money to the area right now, that's something they could do.
Well, absolutely. Come up and stay in a cabin, bring your own boat, jump in with some folks, whatever. And, you know, fish are biting. I mean, the fish are biting, excellent. They're in the river. They're in Four Mile Bay. They're across that whole south shore. Folks that went on up at the northwest angle, they're getting them on shoreline structure, points, neck down areas. jigging a minnow, anchored up, jigging a minnow over the side of the boat. And you want to talk about fun fishing. And Brett, we're talking about, you know, 28 to 32 inch walleyes. We're talking about pike. 44 inch pike was caught just 2 days ago out in the river. You know, we're talking about some big pike being caught accidentally by walleye anglers, of course.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a lot of fish being caught. Limits of walleyes and saugers are coming in. I mean, it's game on, and it's only getting better because the water's warming. So, I mean, if you want to come up and catch fish, oh, man, stay in a cabin. You know, you have it to yourself. Heck, it's fishing's great, and we would love anybody to come up.
We should. I just want to kind of run through a couple of the other things that are part of this, Joe. Families are allowed overnight camping at a single campsite, but not in a developed campground. Private and public developed campgrounds are still closed. I don't understand that one myself. I don't know if it's just because of bathroom facilities or what. I'm not quite sure. Small one-on-one or one-on-two guided fishing, birding, or other instructional activities can resume, obviously just up to two people. Outdoor tournaments, competition practices, and sports that allow for social distancing. So what do you think that would entail? I feel like most outdoor sports, unless, you know, you're maybe like a clay target league or NASP or something like that, but don't most sports, there's not a lot of social distancing in most sports, is there?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe frisbee golf. I don't know. You know,
frisbee golf. Yeah. Well. At least, gosh. And I know they need to have those launches opening. But at least we're starting to go in the right direction. Hopefully, things change for you guys up there sooner than later. What else? I mean, what else can we tell people about Lake of the Woods right now, Joe?
Well, you know, so we have our northwest angle. And, you know, right now the U.S.-Canada border, for the time being, is shut down. So you can't drive up to the angle to go to a resort up there. However, you can boat across the lake and stay in Minnesota waters. So you can boat across. The other option is we have some of our resorts that offer a launch service or a transport service. So it costs a couple extra bucks, but you jump on a big charter boat. Yeah, no worries. They'll take you and all your gear up to your favorite lake, Northwest Angle Resort. Go fishing for a couple of days up there with, now you can go fishing with a guide. Go up there and do your own thing, or you rent a boat, and then they'll transport you back. So it's a no worry way to get up there and enjoy, you know, the Northwest Angle when the border's still shut down. You know, people maybe don't know it, but with that little tip of Minnesota that sticks up into Canada, you can actually travel up that little tip and stay in Minnesota. The time you have to go into Canada is when you drive.
Right. Well, Joe, I appreciate the time here. If people want to learn more about the angle or everything else going up at Lake of the Woods or where they might be able to stay, where can they find more info?
Well, I'll tell you what, you can check out our Facebook page, Brett. In fact, I just posted videos on how to tie and properly store and manage your own crawler harnesses. Real easy videos, because crawler harnesses are starting to kick into gear with the warmer water for walleyes. But our Facebook page, Lake of the Woods Tourism. Otherwise, check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Thanks, Joe.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan.
Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge Studios, This is Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, now we're going to head out to Devil's Lake, North Dakota, check in with Lucas Mertens from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Lucas, how are things up in Devil's Lake?
Well, things are a little wet up here. we've been really, really cool and really wet as far as weather-wise. So some fishing going on, not a lot of farming going on yet. So just, I guess, everybody's just waiting for the sun to come out.
It's interesting that you say that, because I helped out a local farmer here and did some digging for him, and I ended up working some parts of some of his fields that he couldn't remember the last time he was able to get in there and do any planting. Things have really dried out quite a bit where we're at for the first time in I don't know how many years. And I know you guys have gone back and forth with different conditions up there, but you're real wet this year up there?
Yeah, we really haven't. I think our weather in March was nicer than it is right now as far as temps. We really struggled to get even out of the 40s and the 50s, and about every third day we get a kind of a rain soaking event. Last night and this morning we just picked up another half inch of rain. So virtually in the Devil's Lake Basin, I would say, you know, there's virtually no fields work that has gone on. I mean, there's an odd guy that got maybe a high hill planted or got some fertilizer spread. Like on our farm, we've only done about 300 acres of fertilizer, and that was kind of a struggle. It really wasn't even ready yet, but you know, we were just kind of tired of looking at it. So you got to go out and try to spin your wheels and go. So yeah, we're really behind right now as far as the farm community in the Devil's Lake Basin.
That's terrible. As if there isn't enough going on right now. I felt like farming was the one thing that was still happening. But
well, it's meant to happen. It just hasn't really seemed to be happening. It's frustrating. You know, the lake has been open now for a while. There's been some really good shore fishing going on. Sounds like most of the walleyes are spawned out now and starting to feed. So that's good for the anglers. Good thing is North Dakota is open for tourism and for fishing. So, I mean, that's a kind of a bright spot.
Yeah, for sure. So people can come over there and rent one of your cabins and go jump on the lake then, Lucas.
Yeah, you bet. They gave us some guidelines to follow, but when you read through them, it really wasn't anything that we weren't doing already to start with, you know, as far as cleaning and sanitizing and things like that. So, you know, there really wasn't a whole lot for me to change. I guess they have some rules where, you know, everybody's supposed to be from the same family that rents that cabin. For the most part, it's not going to be a real big transition for us anyways.
So I know you've had some hard times up there, Lucas, but you don't know the struggle that we've had in Minnesota where we've been having to cut our own hair for the last couple of months.
I hear you. We just opened up last Friday, and I was almost willing to let my wife cut my hair. I was close, and I knew our governor was going to give some sort of message, and I waited it out, and she probably would have done a good job, but I ended up waiting, and I went and got my hair cut the other day.
Well, it's been a tough time right now, but you also have a campground up there. So what's going on with your campgrounds in North Dakota right now?
I know our state parks are set to open up here pretty soon, but as far as the private campgrounds where we rent the spots out seasonal, you know, for the full season, we're able to do that. You know, you're supposed to still follow social distancing rules and things like that. But we were able to open that up, and we're hoping to turn our water on here maybe this week. And I've seen a real big influx of people calling and just looking to get out and looking for campsites. You know, I think being cooped up all spring, you know, everybody kind of made a plan that, hey, we want to get out and spend some time with the family. So I definitely see a higher call rate of people looking for campsites. That's for sure.
You've been kind of full there, right? I mean, you don't really.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if there was one time that we could have expanded, we probably would have filled it up real quick because, but yeah, we typically run full, but, we still have some room in the cabins, and, that's starting to, this coming weekend, we got some fishermen come in, and then we'll just build and get busier through Memorial Day weekend. So there's still some room to get some cabins and come up and do some fishing. The lake is up about 2 feet.
Oh, really?
Yep. We've got a lot of water still coming into Devil's Lake. A lot of the coulees and channels are still running. So that was good for a spawn and good for the fish population. And I think, fishing is probably a bright spot in everything else that's going on in this world right now.
And staying at your place, I mean, obviously the cabins are very nice. You can get a lot of people in there. They're comfortable. And then you've got a boat access right there for people. You've got a place to clean fish. I mean, people don't have to go anywhere for the most part once they come and stay in one of your cabins there.
No, they don't have to go anywhere. The boat launch is real nice. It's kind of protected by a marina. We got a state-of-the-art fish cleaning station. The cabins all got grills on them and full working kitchens. So, you can bring some groceries and have a fish fry, and you don't have to, you don't really have to wander around. So if people are, feeling timid about coming to Devil's Lake, I mean, they can buy their fishing licenses online, and, they don't have to go out and be real exposed. You don't have to go to, any stores to be able to go fishing.
Well, I'm excited to get up there. We're talking about maybe trying to plan a trip to come up there this summer. So I wish you well up there. I'm glad to hear, everybody's healthy and safe and all that good stuff. And hopefully you can get some seeds in the ground up there, Lucas.
Yeah. The sun is supposed to come out this afternoon, and then we're supposed to really warm up in the 60s and 70s. I guess that's not real warm, but I mean, 70 is going to feel real good, and hopefully we can get rolling and get this crop put in and then get fishing and just go back to normal, I guess, would be nice.
Yeah, going back to normal would be great. And we're supposed to see some 80s, I think some mid 80s here, which I'm not looking forward to. I like the 70s myself personally, but.
Well, if you want my 70s, I'll take your 80s. And we'll just switch for this week, I guess, if you want to do that.
All right. Well, if people want to stay in one of your cabins, what should they do, Lucas?
They can call me direct, 701-351-3130. They can go on our Facebook page and look that up, or they can go to our website, haybaleheights.com.
All right, Lucas Mertens, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Thanks for the time here on the radio show.
Hey, thanks, Brett. Stay safe.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Well, I had a video come up in my memories on Facebook the other day of a duck hunting trip I took to Argentina, and it made me just want to start talking about that trip again and kind of relive some of those memories. It was a bucket list trip I was able to take 5 years ago with Jim Riley, and Jim's going to join us now to talk about it and talk about planning another trip down to Argentina. He's with Riley's Outdoor Consulting. Jim, how's it going? Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, it's going great, Brett. Long time since we've been to Argentina, and you're right, we need to go back.
It was fun. I know you and I just kind of talked a little bit about that trip just after that video came up, and it was fun just kind of reliving some of those memories. And I know you've been down there multiple times. That's obviously the only time that I've been down there, but just so many interesting things about going down there. So it was fun to kind of relive that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, bringing you down there was really fun for me because being you were a newbie, you were like a kid in a candy store with your love of dogs, your love of ducks, the different species. These were all species you had never seen before. So every one you would shoot, I remember you'd pick it up and look at it and look at all the iridescence and the colors. And that was great for me because a lot of people that have been there don't get to see that first time appreciation, if you know what I mean. Like the first time you catch a big Mille Lacs walleye or something.
Well, that's one of the things I like about ducks is just seeing the different species and the different colors, the different vocalizations they make, the different habits. And I want to talk about the duck hunting down there, our trip, what it's like now. Also, the perdis and the doves too. But let's just start with what we're dealing with right now. Everybody healthy where you're at, Jim? How's it going?
Yeah, everybody's good here. I actually did a road trip. I relocated some of my camping and fishing gear to Minnesota from South Dakota by way of Colorado, if that makes sense. I had to do two trips. And yeah, it was strange, Brett. You're on the highway and it's basically semis, U-Hauls, and people pulling boats and campers. You really didn't see a lot of other people. And I guess that's good. People are even social distancing on the highway, and a lot of respect. Everyone's giving a lot of each other a lot of room on the roads, and I think we're all just busting at the seams to get outdoors, though.
For sure, absolutely.
I know I am.
And you had to put a. You were planning a move too, weren't you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, my wife and I had bought a lot in Florida, right on a sanctuary. I talked her into it, brought her in, and said, "How cool is this?" Little did she know it was connected to Boca Grande Pass, one of the best tarpon fishing areas in the world. And we were ready to fly back down and sign the contract for our home build when this all hit. So we called our builder and said, "Hey, we're going to pop smoke and plan to do this another day." And luckily he said, "Hey, that's good. We'll keep your plans. We'll keep everything. And when you're ready, let's start things back up." So right for now, we're going to be content in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and try to spend as much time at the cabin in Wisconsin as we can chasing big smallies.
Riley's Outdoor Consulting, your business helps people take hunting and fishing trips all over the world. Obviously, that's also kind of on hold right now. What are your thoughts on the situation and how it's going to shake out?
Well, I tell you what, first of all, it's shocking. I don't think anyone ever thought we'd experience anything like this in our lifetime. And things will shake out country by country. We might open up here in the U.S., but other countries might not let us in, and vice versa. So I have no idea. Answering questions from clients has been very tough. The easiest part for me was Argentina because the government closed the entire hunting season.
Oh,
well,
really?
That's pretty easy to... We formulated a plan with the outfitter, and the outfitters I used down there and said, "Okay, guys, you can roll this to next year, or you can give up your deposit, but you lose it. However, we will help you sell that trip for next year because we have plenty of time." Hmm. Most trips, as you know, you book, and there's that money's on a one-way funnel. It's not like the airline. When it's booked, that money's gone. There's no deposits that are returned. There's trip insurance you could buy, but I posted many times on my Facebook page how the trip insurance companies were handling this. And if you were not going to go because of fear, they weren't going to cover that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if a country opens up and you decide to go and the U.S. is open up to travel and you're just afraid to go, you're probably not going to get any refunds. Be prepared to lose your money or roll that trip. And did you see the piece Jim Shockey put out?
I didn't.
Jim Shockey put out a 2-minute piece that was amazing. Best thing I've ever seen Jim do. And it discusses this very issue of outfitter survival around the world. A lot of their initial deposits are used to buy trucks, buy supplies, get leases, literally stock animals. You know, in New Zealand, on big red stags, they have to buy those and see that they survive through, two hunting season. They're buying fuel up front, boats, motors, gas, paying guide fees. You just can't turn that off. So I'm afraid without our U.S. dollar traveling the world, there's going to be a lot of these foreign operations that go out of business.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah, we actually talked about that with the guys from Saskatchewan, which are actually not far from Jim Shockey's turf up there. They said the exact same thing. I mean, at Tazen, we bought all brand new motors for the boats this year. They're sitting there ready to go to the lodge, and we don't know if we're going to have a season up there. So we've already got a lot of expenses, or they've already got a lot of expenses on right. the books in anticipation of all these deposits that were going to be coming in. And even if we do, as we discussed, even if we do open up and have a season this summer, there's been a whole stretch of time here where we haven't been able to book anybody, book new clients, or take deposits. A lot of the people that had said that they're going to book a trip this year, all of a sudden they're kind of holding out saying, I don't know. I'm going to hold on to my deposit for now. So it could be absolutely devastating for a lot of guides and outfitters around the world.
Sure. And a lot of people used their returns. We have a lot of older clients, let's face mm-hmm. it. The people that can travel, a lot of them are over 60. They've done well. They're using those returns on their investment accounts or retirement accounts. And the last, obviously, several years have been fantastic. So they've been saying, let's take the kids and go on a trip, a fishing or hunting trip. Well, that's gone right now. Hopefully it bounces back. We're all crossing our fingers. But if it doesn't, we're going to see the whole horizon of the hunting and fishing industry paid change. Now, there are some positives, not really for me in international travel. I do North America. But what in talking to the other old timers in my business, at 51, I'm an old timer. I've been in it 25 years. We're looking forward to coming back to the U.S. and putting on some hosted trips. I have a friend working in Pinehurst, North Carolina. He's doing driven pheasant hunts and sporting clays, a two-day event. Bring your wife, bring your son, stay at a beautiful manor and shoot pheasants and clays and have a great time. Hopefully that's up and running by October, November. That's when they want to run these hunts, so October, November, December, something like that. We've always got Texas, which is a plethora of game, everything from whitetail to hella hog hunting. So there is hopefully some bright spots. The Dakotas are amazing, as you know. You probably would be mad if I give any spots up there, so I'll limit it to say the Dakotas. Luckily, South Dakota has the draw duck hunting license. I think that's my little hideout. Mm-hmm. When I draw that permit, I go by myself. I take my dog, and we just have a good time.
So when it comes to travel, I know for a while there at the beginning of the whole COVID-19 situation, airfare was ridiculously cheap. And I had a lot of friends that were buying airplane tickets for later this summer or this fall because they were getting them just at steep, steep discounts. And we all kind of figured this would be over pretty quick. We'd maybe going back to, somewhat of a normal life maybe by summer. I certainly didn't expect it to last this long. The airline industry is down, I think, 95% right now. It's a terrible time. But are you seeing, for a trip for next year, are you telling people, hey, you could get deals on airfare for a trip for next year at this point?
Well, here's the strange thing, Brett. A lot of, like our Argentina for this year was 90% booked. So if 90% of the people roll, I only got 10% open.
Interesting.
So I'm really in no drastic hurry to book trips like that. I would say if you're hunting for airfare, hunt for 2021 or be ready to pull the trigger the minute, the bands start opening up. But, people have to pay attention to what I said. They don't get it. Just because the U.S. opens up travel doesn't mean the outside countries are going to open up.
More with Jim Riley coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio as we discuss traveling around the world for hunting and fishing trips and what you can and can't do.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Our guest, Jim Riley, Riley's Outdoor Consulting, about hunting and fishing trips around the world and whether or not you can go right now. Jim, what are you hearing?
A lot of countries like New Zealand, they're talking about being shut down for a year, Brett.
Oofta.
And that's a big part of my business. It's an amazing destination to go to. It's safe. The hunting and traveling and camaraderie there is incredible. But they're an isolated island country, multiple islands, obviously, and they're going to keep people out, which is a shame. I never thought I would see this, like I said.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did. What about like the southern hemisphere? It seems like, and maybe I just don't pay as much attention to it, but how has COVID-19 affected like those parts of the world?
Well, it's funny you should ask that because my niece was down in Ecuador. Her and her husband were teaching down there. And they were told, get out on this plane or you can't get out. So they left their car down there, all their possessions, basically. They grabbed a suitcase or whatever they could fly home and got out of Dodge. The rumors you were hearing about Central and South America is, oh, the heat
right.
is great and it kills the virus. Don't worry. Well, I have friends that work down there in other capacities in the hunting business, and their feedback from Colombia, Bolivia, Peru is that's not the case. There was widespread deaths from the COVID. Even in Ecuador, where my niece was, they were just the hospitals putting people on the street and, you know, dead bodies. And then the wagon would come pick them up and drag them away and burn them. So, no, that heat thing to me is nonsense. I don't think this, and I'm no expert. I'm just a dude that hunts and fishes around the world. But I would say this thing is much more powerful than people want to believe. I mean, we all want to believe it's nothing and we can go out and do whatever we want. I'm one of them. You know, my wife, as you know, it was 28 years in the military, spent time in Iraq. We looked at each other when this broke out and we said, hey, let's go home and go to Mayo Clinic, have them give us COVID, put us in a nice room and draw our plasma and use it. And, you know, other people at that time were like, what are you two idiots talking about? Well, now that's the standard. They're drawing plasma out of people that have survived the COVID and have the antibodies, because that would be the not cure, but that would give you the strength, better strength in your body trying to fight it alone. So I think that's what we need to be doing, is getting as much plasma out of people as we can and getting it into these older people and people that are susceptible to this virus quickly. And I don't see a whole bunch of healthy people on the news dying from this though, Brett.
Right. And that, I mean, that's the underlying discussion taking place with a lot of people right now is, and it's starting to get political, and that's obviously why there's been a lot of protesting. And I mean, we could debate this for hours and days here on the show.
Jim,
and bottom line is it's been devastating to the health of definitely a certain segment of our population, and it's been devastating to business. So
yes,
what the right answer is right now, I'm not quite sure, but let's do this. Let's just think optimistically for a minute, and maybe let's move to 2021 and let's talk about if everything opens up and people are healthy, they've got a vaccine or whatever, we're allowed to travel down to Argentina again. Let's talk about that, because going back 5 years to that trip we took down there, I mean, I was able to find, at that time, I was able to find airfare down to Argentina for less than $1,200. And I remember you saying to me, I'm like, wow, that's a pretty good deal. And when we got to Buenos Aires and just being able to spend, we were down there for about a week and we spent a day on the front end and the back end in Buenos Aires there, that's worth the trip to me. I mean, obviously I went down there for the duck hunting, but just to be able to see, you know, South America and see the city, see the culture and just have that adventure, to me is worth the trip going down there, Jim.
I agree 100%. And going back to how you started, you know, your sentence here, I would say that we're going to experience the biggest case of cabin fever exit you've ever seen. People are going to burst at the seams, I believe, to travel. My wife's already got me looking at these crazy tall ship cruises, and I think I might do one next January. We might just book it and say, heck with it, you know, lead the charge. And what you're saying about getting the most out of a trip, absolutely. I was just talking to guys today about what you experienced down there, all the different things you see in Argentina. I think a lot of people think it's a third world country. Little would they know the size of that highway that or that road that runs through town. You remember that? I took you there.
Oh, yeah.
Eight or 10 lanes. And then the cemetery in Recoleta.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that in my life. So whenever I bring someone, I say, I'm taking you to a cemetery. And they're like, dude, have you lost it? And then by the time they're done with that, they're like, I'm not going to be able to explain this to anybody back home.
It's wild.
It's so amazing.
Yeah,
and it's not spooky either. Didn't feel haunted, did it?
Every time we go around another corner, Jimmy would be like, oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think, are we done here yet? Heck no.
There's like some general on the wall or on a monument. But it's funny, you can read all the things about the people, and it's, I don't know, I find it very interesting. I go in there and it's good, and you got to experience some of the great food and wine and,
oh, yeah,
and the other things that make, and we're just focusing on Argentina, but all over the world, you know, I've been blessed to have been to many, many countries, and people ask, what's your favorite? And I always say, well, my favorite's the one I'm at that time.
Yeah.
You know, I go in there with an open attitude, and I try to get off the beaten path, and I've taught my wife to do that. Get back where people aren't necessarily providing tours to cruise ships. Get back like we do when we hunt and fish. We're with the locals. We're chasing wild boars around. And I know that had you all wound up wanting to chase those wild boars when we cut tracks. But you see all the crazy stuff out in the country.
Yeah.
Not in the city, well, you know.
Not just the wild boars, but there was animals all over the place. And all kinds of different animals that I'd, you know, you see them on TV or you read about them in books. But to be able to see some of those animals in person. And Jim, you kind of nailed it. You know, we did spend the front end and the back end of that trip in the city, but the rest of it was out in rural Argentina, out in the country where, you know, it's kind of like where, honestly, I felt like I was driving around South Dakota in a lot of places. There was cattle over here, a cornfield over there, a bean field over there. The climate was very similar to what we experience here in our region, except that they're backwards. It's their fall is our spring, so it's fall down there right now. But the one difference, the one thing that you would see for sure that would make you remember that you're in Argentina and not not South Dakota, is that you'd be sitting there in the duck slough, and a flamingo would fly by.
How about the noise in the morning in the slough or the marsh? You would look at me and I'd say, yeah, that's caracaras. It's all kinds of, I call them the jungle birds. Those marshes are so loud. You can't even explain to someone how loud it is in the morning.
I hope I've still got it, because I recorded I recorded some of those sounds on my phone for the day that I would want to use them, which is now. I'm hoping I still got them on here. But some of those noises, it was just wild, very surreal, very atmospheric, and again reminded you that you're not in Kansas anymore. You know,
right. The other thing, it's different than how you and I grew up. We hunted a lot of public land, so you hear boom, 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 right. Boom, 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 boom. All you hear down there is you and I.
Wildlife. And you and I. And you're right. And actually, that's literally the next question on my list that I was going to ask you. Is there, when you go down there, particularly for duck hunting, the locals don't hunt them. There isn't a lot of pressure on those ducks down there.
No, they don't really hunt them and they don't manage them. We're hoping they change the management end of it, you know, because we really want to see a sustainable hunting population of all the species of ducks down there. And there seems to be right now, but I think if we manage it and help the Argentines manage it, and we do that by buying hunts down there, and there's actually an outfitting group now that is not Ducks Unlimited Argentina, because our species don't travel down there. It's actually a group of outfitters that are funding this and working with the government to actually see the movements of these birds and hopefully be able to increase populations. And they don't hunt the ducks, but were you with when we would give ducks away? Mm-hmm. The people come on their bicycles from far away to meet us at the edge of the marsh and many of the places, and they each take their ducks. One operation I went to, Brett, you weren't with, but the police showed up. I thought, oh my goodness, we're in trouble. No, the police showed up because they wanted to pick the best ducks. They picked the big, fat, rosy-billed poachers.
I think I might have been there for that, or that might have happened while we were there too, because I remember something like that happening.
Yeah, and the police show up. It's crazy, but think about it. They don't. It's not a robust economy down there. They're suffering. Their dollars all over the map. Our dollar on their illegal market, they call it down there, was 45 to 1, Brett. You
Holy
and I
smokes.
Were getting 20 to 1, I think.
I don't even know if we were getting that much. I thought it was like 13 or 14 or something.
Yeah, 45 to 1. Holy but they smokes. Have an official market, and then they have a blue dollar or whatever they call it, which is, the behind the curtain on the street exchange. But, yeah, experience is what it's about. And there's countless experience we had. Did you remember eating viscacha? What? It was like a pickled rabbit with capers. It's like a rabbit. It's an animal that looks like a rabbit. They remind me of that little pop-up game where you beat the little guys.
Whack-a-mole?
I knew you would know it. Whack-a-mole. So it's like whack-a-mole. These things come out at night, and you hunt them, and everybody thinks you're taking them on a good old-fashioned Midwest snipe hunt when you tell them to stand there and wait and shoot this thing when it pops out of the hole. But they literally do, and they're absolutely a delicacy.
We have more of our interview with Jim Riley on our Facebook and YouTube channel. Check out Sporting Journal Radio, but that's all for now on this radio show. Thank you for listening. Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba Media LLC. Find us online at sportingjournalradio.com to listen to past shows, download the podcast, and more.